Chapter 1. Rust. Inspector Kent grimaced, rattling pipes overhead, startling him from a daydream.
"Damned pipes," he muttered.
The pipes shuddered, rust falling from where they'd been bolted to a towering stone aqueduct, a once beautiful structure tainted by progress. Kent's frown deepened, muffled screams emanated from the cozy wooden home before him. He pulled a pipe and tobacco tin from his dark cloak, then patted his pants in search of a tinderbox.
"Can't even light the damn thing," he grumbled.
The inspector turned, searching the foggy, cobbled street. The shroud was thick this morning. His eyes alighted on an elbow poking out from behind one of the aqueduct's many pillars. He approached, finding an old man attached to the elbow. The man was dressed in a sharp courier's uniform. Vorven purple and black. He sat in a stiff wooden chair, eyes closed, fast asleep. Kent laid a gentle hand on the man's shoulder, startling him awake.
"Lightning strike me!"
The courier sat up in his chair. His eyes widened as he recognized Kent's uniform. The old man pushed himself to stand, smoothing down his wrinkled outfit.
"I'm terribly sorry, sir. Terribly sorry, Inspector. It's truly not my measure to be sleeping on the job."
Kent raised an eyebrow. The old man fidgeted with his hands, head bowed.
"It's not my measure, sir, truly."
His lilting provincial accent made it difficult for Kent to understand. The old man raised apologetic eyes to meet Kent's own.
"I try to keep myself together, Inspector, truly I do."
He grimaced, shaking his head.
"But the sleep don't come like it used to, and the acolytes are beating down on us. And my friend Narm, he got let go, so the double shifts are taking the life right out of me bones. And I don't got too much left, I imagine."
His shoulders slumped, eyes dropping, as the wind left his sails.
"It's not my measure, sir. It's just not,"
he murmured, resigned. Kent observed the trembling man. He spoke like his life was in Kent's hands.
"What happened to Narm?"
the inspector asked. The old man gave him a skittish look.
"Got caught sleeping."
Kent huffed to laugh.
"Well, it's a good thing I'm not an acolyte, friend, or you'd be fucked."
Kent raised his full pipe to the confused courier.
"I'm just here for a light."
The man stared at him, then down at the pipe. Kent grinned, trying to soothe the old man's nerves. Realization dawned on the man's face. His wrinkles loosened, and a warmth bloomed across his wizened eyes.
"Prophet help me," he sighed. "Here."
He held his pointer finger over the bowl. A subtle haze formed around the top of the pipe. Stress lines scrunched at the corners of the man's eyes. The leaf began to smolder, then burn. Kent nodded, thanking the courier. He took a pull, enjoying the smooth tobacco smoke. The old man sat back down, pulling out a pipe of his own. He packed it with steady hands, lighting the tobacco with the same precision as before.
"You've got good control," Kent commented. "That's shaper's work."
The older man nodded, sucking in his first puff.
"You've a good eye, sir. Though I suppose that's to be expected."
He smiled, taking another puff, fumes pushing through his teeth.
"I'm almost a shaper. At least, I did shaper's work in the homeland."
"What brought you here?" Kent questioned, surprised.
In the provinces, shapers were always useful. Even waiver-class mages had value. But in the districts, a Cadenite mage was just another factory worker, another cog in the machine.
"I'd always had the itch for some action, you know?"
the courier grunted, eyes distant with memory.
"I heard there was a new lord of the 13th making a go of it. So I came here hoping I could lend experienced hands to the cause."
"What happened?"
Kent asked, having a good idea what the answer would be.
"Bah! I'm just another Cadenite in Caden City," the old man snorted.
Kent huffed a laugh in reply. It was a story often heard in the city. The opportunities here were not so glamorous as they were made out to be in provincial village squares. The two men sat in silence after that, tobacco smoke massaging their frayed nerves, soothing their tired minds. Just two Cadenites in Caden City. The courier chuckled to himself, breaking the silence.
Gods take me, he grinned, when I saw that face of yours looking down on me. I thought I could feel the lashes already.
The old man looked up at Kent's grim face.
No offence, sir, he stammered. You've a fine face, a very good one, in fact.
Lashes? Kent asked.
Aye, 20 of them, the courier replied. Narm's been laid up for weeks. They won't even let him see a priestess to fix it.
Doesn't seem like a lashing offence, Kent commented, smoke spilling from his lips, intermingling with the swirling shroud.
It didn't used to be, the courier replied. But it's like I said, the acolytes are tightening things up, sending a message, I think.
Sending a message, eh? Kent mused. Well, it doesn't seem to have worked.
The old man grimaced, cheeks growing red with embarrassment.
Like I said, sleep don't come so easy.
The young sun pierced the shroud, spreading shadows across his face.
And I don't much like it when it does.
Kent gave the man a thoughtful eye. There was a thump behind them, then a creaking of hinges. The two men turned, watching as the front door of a small wooden home swung open. A tall, lithe figure stepped confidently through the opening, mist parting around her black-clad form like a sea of smoke. She had long, blonde hair and wore suits similar to Kent's. Black pants, coat, and a purple tie fit snug to her body, accentuating her feminine form. She paused on the porch, taking a deep breath of fresh air. Spotting him, the inspector smiled, making her way over. A sudden wind blew past her, carrying the smell from the open door. Kent's eye twitched at the sulfurous stench. He glanced to his side and grimaced. The courier's face had gone sheet white. The inspector sighed, mourning the life of their conversation, extinguished with the smell. He placed a hand on the old man's shoulder. The courier flinched.
Thanks for the light, he said, moving to join his partner.
Elsha holstered her domination stick, a black cudgel with red ruby inlays. She nodded to Kent's pipe, peeling off a pair of black gloves.
I'm going to need one of those, she commented. Sin tastes like shit.
There's a park down the road, Kent grumbled, nodding to the end of the street.
Kent sat on a wood bench on the edge of a park walled in with trees. The grass was lush, the birds vocal, and the sun's rays on shrouded skies gave the area an orange tint. Kent liked this park. It was a world apart from the rust and the rattling pipes. The only man-made structure that stood in the open lawn was a large steel fountain. It was shaped like the stalwart tree whose massive canopy was visible over the rooftops in front of him, only slightly obscured by the mist. A statue of the prophet stood at the base of the tree, hand pressed against its trunk. Caden Ignis was said to have grown the towering flora from a seedling to its full height in a single day. Elsha made her way back from that fountain, squeezing water from her hair. Slick blonde locks rested in a mop on her shoulder. She reached into her coat pocket, pulling out a gold cigarette tin. With her delicate fingers, she removed a pipette, placing a cigarette at the wider end. She held the device in her hand like a chalice. The lithe inspector pointed a finger at the tip of the cigarette from below. A stream of flame erupted from the appendage, lighting the cigarette, then disappearing just as quickly. The power came easy to her, marking her blood as blessed. She was not just another Cadenite in Caden City. Elsha stood, shrouded sunlight framing her face in shadows. She breathed deep of the soothing smoke, releasing a graceful exhale.
"Enjoying the show?" she asked, giving him a side-eyed glance.
Kent had been staring. He pulled his own pipe from his lips.
"Your beauty is the most interesting thing about you," he barked. "Might as well enjoy it."
"I'm glad you did," she replied, grinning. "You looked positively dismal earlier."
Kent's eyebrow twitched.
"Just the thought of another day with you will do that to a man," he quipped.
"Most men would kill for a day with me."
Elsha grinned. "I'm sure that old courier you were speaking with earlier would."
"I think you scared him enough for one morning."
"I don't know. The uniform was quite fetching, actually." Elsa pondered, putting a finger to her pursed lips. I might like a man with experience.
He's a good man, Kent grumbled, taking a small puff. I'm sure he has a wife and children.
Now that's a challenge, his partner cooed. Kent gave her a flat look. She rolled her eyes, giving an exasperated sigh. Oh, don't worry, Elsa groaned. He's not even close to my type.
She tapped her cigarette, ash falling to the ground.
Besides, families are...
She drew deeply from the pipette.
Messy.
Smoke blew from her supple lips. Kent gave her a skeptical look. Elsa put a hand on her shoulder, lowering herself to sit beside him.
After all this time, do you truly think so little of me?
She asked, a wounded expression on her face. He met her big, dark eyes.
If I thought any less of you, he said, exhaling smoke into her face, you'd cease to exist.
She closed her eyes, turning away.
Oh, that's awful, Kent,
she huffed, punching him in the shoulder.
I love it.
Kent smiled. The two sat for a few moments, enjoying the morning sun. Dewdrops sparkled in the hazy light, giving the moment an ethereal feel. It ended quickly. Elsa took in a dramatic breath.
Kent, you know I don't mind, but...
She met his eyes.
Are you ever going to join me in our holiest of duties?
He looked away, letting his pipe hand fall to his knee. They only happen once every couple of months, he murmured.
But they do happen, Kent, she grimaced. And I worry.
You worry, he raised an eyebrow.
She did away with the concern, taking his point.
Well, maybe I don't worry that much, she continued in a more conversational tone. But I do like what we have going here. It works.
She took another quick puff.
But these things do happen, Kent, and someone's going to notice. I just don't want your reputation to take the hit when they do.
You're worried about my reputation, he asked, irritated.
She sighed.
I'm not worried. I really don't care, she reiterated. But someone will find out, and people will start to talk. Maybe they already are.
Kent's eyes narrowed.
What do you mean?
It's just rumors.
Damn it, Elsa, he groaned.
It wasn't me, I swear,
she soothed. Kent rolled his eyes.
Look, none of this would even matter if you'd just do your fucking job,
Elsa argued, exasperated.
Sin happens, rot happens. The fifth must be enforced, whether it's us or someone else. Otherwise, ruin.
Kent worked his jaw in irritation. She was right. He knew she was right. But...
Fine, he sighed, relenting. Next time there's an incident...
He ground out the words like dust in his mouth.
I'll join you inside, but that's all I'll do. Nothing more.
Finally!
Elsa let out a breath, tension releasing from her shoulders.
I can't believe you made me do that, she huffed. I was starting to sound like a bloody zealot.
She shivered, taking another puff from her pipette. Kent let out a tight chuckle, lifting his own pipe to his lips. He pulled back. The spark had gone out.
Oh, let me get that,
Elsa commented, placing a finger above the bowl like the courier had. A flame sprung to life below her fingertip. Smoke billowed from the bowl. Somehow, Elsa's flames felt far more sinister than the old man's. Maybe because he knew what they'd been used for less than an hour earlier.
Thanks, Kent grunted, taking a long pull from the vessel. He would not give her the satisfaction of his discomfort.
She smiled, unfazed by his internal battle, gaze returning to stare out over the well-manicured lawn. He grimaced, readjusting himself in his seat in an attempt to enjoy the morning air. It was difficult. The inspectors were interrupted by the clacking of stiff boots down the street behind them. The breathless courier stepped through the arched entryway. He ran across the lawn to meet them. The old man held out a small red tube with a brass cap. The cap was emblazoned with the owl's head and quill of House Vorva.
"Apologies, inspectors," the old man stammered, head bowed. "A message for you."
Osha snatched the tube from the courier's hands. She put her thumb and pointer finger on the crystals laid into the cap. There was a hissing sound and then a snap as the inner latch popped open. The cap swung back, revealing the message inside. Elsha read it. Her eyes widened in surprise.
"Murder," she muttered.
The courier flinched.
"They're giving it to us," Kent frowned.
"I guess so."
"What about the twins?" Kent pressed.
"They're getting married tomorrow," she replied.
"Both of them?"
She nodded.
"How about Rent and Davil?" Kent proposed. "They love these things."
"They've already got three."
The old man flinched again.
"I think they're all out of options, Kent," Elsha shrugged. "I mean, they must be, right?"
Kent shook his head, confused.
"I guess it has been a rough few months, hasn't it?" he grunted.
Elsha shrugged again.
"Well, there's no arguing with the mayor," he sighed.
"I don't know about that,"
his partner quipped, handing the tube back to the courier as she burned the message in her hand.
"Let's get moving, shall we?"
She turned to exit the park.
"I think this could be fun."
Kent glanced at the courier. The man was horrified. Murders were rare in Caden City. Even in low-ranking districts like this one, to hear that there had been multiple in just the last few months could shake a man.
"Prophet protect us,"
the inspector grimaced, regretting the fright they'd given the man this morning.
"It could be worse, friend," Kent joked,
gesturing over his shoulder to where Elsha was waiting.
"She was considering taking you out earlier."
The man's eyes widened in panic. Kent grinned, hoping it would help the joke land better. The courier's face only grew more disturbed.
"Gods, Kent, leave the man alone,"
Elsha scolded, pulling him away. They exited the park, his partner letting go when they made it to the cobbled streets outside.
"I guess he wasn't much for jokes," Kent muttered.
Elsha snorted.
"Gods, Kent, if your wit was any drier, I think you'd burst into flames."